Meeting to order. Okay, I'd like to call the meeting to order, but I cannot see the time on my screen at this time.
3:32.
What time? 3:32. Okay. And let the record show that I'm attending this meeting by Zoom from Massachusetts. And I'm calling the meeting to order now. I'd like a motion to approve the agenda for today.
So moved.
Second.
And all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the motion is carried. At this time, comments from the public can be made on items not listed on the agenda that are of public interest and within matters of jurisdiction of the district. The committee has a policy of limiting speakers to not more than 3 minutes. The committee cannot take action on items not listed on the agenda. Excuse me.
There doesn't appear to be any public.
Yeah, is that true? Is that true, Andrea? There's no public at this time?
That is true.
Okay, then I'll forego that reading. The minutes of the FNA meeting of May 11th require a motion to approve. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Now, all in favor of that, indicate aye. No motion is carried. Great, moving along. Conrado, the CEO report?
Nothing, thank you.
Nothing at this time, okay. Chris, item number 6 on the agenda, the Chief Administration Officer's report, please.
Great, thank you. So we have 3 items on there before we get to the Medical Plaza items. The preliminary field work for the FY21 annual audit has been underway. We essentially have completed that component of it. Everything was clean and clear that the auditors have sample tested. So we will be preparing for the actual year end work after June 30th. Wanted to announce that we are doing the completion of the automatic fire sprinkler system project, and that will be a public bidding process. The bid documents are available for the public. As of yesterday, we did do 2 public publications in the Desert Sun announcing the project, and also have listed that on our website. The bid opening will be June 29th after we do a pre-bid conference on June 17th. And as discussed before, we're looking at probably $250,000 to $300,000 for that project, and it is required by the city. Another informational piece is, I think we're all aware that Mr. Frederick Supple, prior board member, passed away recently. And I don't know how many of you were aware that we did have some board members that were grandfathered into a lifetime insurance premium coverage by the district. At this point, Mr. Supple and his wife, Rosine, were covered by that insurance. With Mr. Supple's passing, the way that I understand and speaking with our legal counsel, the insurance coverage ceases for both Mr. and Mrs. Supple, as Mr. Supple was the principal to have received that benefit. So what that will do for us financially on our balance sheet is that we will no longer need to carry a balance for the OPEB liability, which is the retirement BOD medical liability on our balance sheet. And it will reduce our balance sheet liabilities by $35,000 and increase our net income by that amount in this fiscal year.
Chris, can I just ask you a question? I'm having a little trouble understanding the liability issue. Are you saying that what we paid insurance premium, the two of them for a year, was $35,000?
No. It's an actuarial deal. So every year we've had to do an actuarial study that in essence estimates how long their life will be and how much premium that we would need to be paying on their lives. And I assume that maybe they had the actuary had them going to the age of 100. I don't know, but that's an actuarial number that we have to carry on our books as a liability, showing how much that we would have to pay out in theory if they lived to whatever the age that the actuaries.
I understand, but so answer my question then. How much a year roughly are we paying for the two of them in insurance premiums?
Roughly $10,000-$11,000.
Okay. Thank you.
Excuse me, Chris, just so that I have this accurate for the minutes, somewhere along the way I missed something. So it was a liability, but now that Mr. Supple has passed, basically Mrs. Supple will no longer have insurance with the district. Is that correct?
Correct. Neither will be covered. Yeah, the insurance will be terminated by CalPERS because, and then we will not be, we will pay the expense of their Medicare through essentially May of this year. And then and that's it. And then the annual actuarial evaluations will cease at this point as well. I've already spoken with the actuarial company and they are aware of that.
Any other questions regarding this matter?
Okay, if not, just moving on to the Las Palmas Medical Plaza. We do have some leasing activity underway. We will be going over a lease agreement that's being presented later on the agenda. I'll wait to give details on that. At that point, we do have interest in, essentially we've got some interest in all three of the vacant suites that we have. So there's some potential that we could have, keeping my fingers crossed and knocking on wood, that we might have 100% occupancy, hopefully in the not too distant future. So keeping fingers crossed with that. The one suite, Dr. Kim, that has been with UCR and now works with his regional medical center, is part of the administrative folks with like the residency programs. And I don't know all the details, but they are creating an organization with psychologists, psychiatrists, et cetera. Anyway, behavioral health providers that would like to lease one of the spaces that we have available. Since it's a component of our foundation's initiative to work with behavioral health, what Conrado and I have talked about is providing a bit of a discount on the rent for this purpose, where we would normally lease for $1.45 a square foot, for $1.65 or higher, we would be looking at doing $1.45 per square foot. And that, unless the committee has any objection to that, that's what we would be looking to.
I have a couple questions. In the document, it says 45 cents.
I know, I just noticed that. I apologize for that typo, but it is $1.45 per square foot.
Okay, and then just a comment, sort of. I mean, I'm all in favor of us doing everything we can to encourage behavioral health. Don't get me wrong, but the reality is that Desert Regional gets a GME stipend from Medicare, which is to support things like this. They have to provide a behavioral health component to their residency. So, again, I'm not against this, but. Is it something that they asked us for, or I'm just concerned?
They did ask if we could, work with them on that. $1.45 isn't out of reason for this. $1.45 is, it has been the rate that we had been charging prior to, you know, the rents going up over the last few years. So that's kind of the reason I went with the $1.45.
I'm not opposed to. I just think we need to remember that Tenet and Eisenhower get gobs and gobs of money, which add to their bottom line. And by the way, it costs them much less in expenses than they get from Medicare for GME. So just keep that in mind when we try to help them.
Chris, do you happen to know what the leasing rates are at Eisenhower campus?
I don't know, and I've asked around a little bit, but you know, they kind of tend to be kind of tight-lipped unless you're like a broker or something like that. I even checked with next door at the Almirador building.
Eisenhower has this weird arrangement for their doctors there. A lot of times they charge a second facility rate directly to the patient. And again, it's not all doctors, it's some doctors. So it's a weird arrangement there.
Okay, just curious. Okay.
So anyway, questions on that's this coming up, and we would probably look at, we have Dr. Kim's working on an estimate for the TI work there, and roughly guess right now is about $20 a square foot. So I think that's reasonable that we could consider offering, covering the tenant improvement work in that suite. Because it is, I mean, it really needs some upgrading. And so that would be what I believe that we would present to the committee when we actually do put together a lease.
Questions?
So I have a question. So I appreciate Dr. Zendel's input, and I think that that's something that makes me think twice about being okay with this. And I would rather do tenant improvements if that's something that they can't charge to, you know, the rate that they normally get to make that a nice space for them than to, reduce the price when they're going to get reimbursed for it.
But Dr. Zendel, is this, when you talk about the GME, and it's an education for me, when they're talking about doing a psychiatrist or behavioral health providers for this lease or this space, are you saying that they get substantial amounts of monies for that?
No. I'm not an expert on this, but I do know that one of the ways that hospitals supplement their income is having a graduate medical education program. And that money is separate to them from Medicare, and it's based on the number of residents they have. And for the programs they have to offer certain things. So no, I'm not saying that they get this money back from Medicare. I'm just saying that part of their income is GME Medicare money.
And to that point, just kind of a verbal update, there's a suite that Desert Regional has, they're essentially in 5 years of a 10-year lease of a suite on the east side of the property that has been sitting vacant for, let's say, 5 years. They've had several versions of things that they were going to do. They were going to do a residency space there. They were going to do an urgent care and some other things. What they are using it for now is, as Dr. Zendel mentioned, they are using it as a GME facility where they're doing education functions in that suite. So
is that the GME office where they're actually doing the administration of the GME program?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah. Again, you know, Chris, I don't want you to rely on what I'm telling you because I don't know the details. Maybe it's something before we jump to any conclusions one way or the other that you talk to Tenet or look into the issue of GME funding.
I got the impression from Dr. Kim that, and I don't know if Conrad, you know any more details, but from Dr. Kim that it would be, you know, the behavioral health providers that would be doing billable services for psychology type work. And I mean, I don't know what the billable rates are for those kinds of things, especially, you know, trying to pay, you know, fairly significant.
Yes, and I don't recall that it was going to be a residency program type of deal.
No,
I think that, and I think it's not psychiatrists, so it's going to be psychologists.
Right.
What they're going to hire to integrate those services into family health.
It's sort of like what DAP is doing with the psychotherapy on one end, and then the psychiatric medication management, because Dr. McGuire has also stated that you can't rotate the psych residents through Desert because there's no psychiatry.
Yeah, but as long as they're paying us, what's the difference what the collateral issues are?
Well, that's true. But just a minute, just to add something. DAP, the money from GME goes to the College of Medicine, UC Riverside College of Medicine. They're the ones who have the program. They get the money from Medicare. Yeah,
it doesn't affect us.
And DAP, on the other hand, is able to bill Medi-Cal and anybody that has private insurance. So, and I agree that it's better to have this rented than empty.
Right, bottom line, exactly. Okay, any other questions about this for Chris? Next item, Chris.
Okay, that's it regarding the CAO report. We may have, like I say, another LOI to bring to the July meeting for the third suite. So
okay,
keep our fingers crossed to have all of them rented.
All right, then let's take a look at the financial reports starting on page 15. I'm going to go through the list, and if anyone has any issues or concerns or agendas, I'd be happy to recognize that. Anything related to the actual P&L statements and the balance sheet issues, other than the note to note the increases in our bottom line net income for all the obvious positive variances on the P&L and the ultimate transfer of those things to the balance sheet and the positive impact of our investment profiles done well. Those are the issues that have effectively impacted the financial statements to the positive.
Well, our investment profile has not done well.
Relatively speaking, it's done well. I mean, it's granted it's down, but if you look at the actual detail, you'll see that it's made a substantial contribution to the on the balance sheet.
I'm looking at
the balance sheet is increased year over year, but that's because, I mean, that's a function of a couple of things. I mean, one is that we haven't paid out as much money in grant funding, and we're receiving higher property tax revenues.
Right.
But with regard to the earnings of the return on the investment, it's not performing very well. And we've heard that information from our investment broker over the last several months that it's just not, you know, performing income wise at all because of you know, how bonds are performing and rated right now. So
is this the more conservative of the two investment profiles we have? I kind of mixed up that. I got it backwards.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Just one question, Chris, and I think I know the answer, but how have you, because I don't remember, how have you, with this loss of almost $1 million in investment below budget from this last year, how have you put in the new budget for investment income? I just don't remember.
I've got it essentially a break even. I've got it being a net positive about $20,000 because we're earning interest, but the loss on sale of those bonds will be a negative as well. And they essentially are kind of offsetting each other at this point. As you could see, if you look at page 18, near the top, the 4,200. So see the codes 4,220 and 9,999.
Right.
If you go over to, the 88,000 in the next to the, or let's see, third from the last column.
Yeah.
So you see there's, 903,000 that we've earned to date interest-wise, but 815,000 is the negative on the performance of the bonds. So we actually had a net interest income of $88,000 for the year
to date. As long as interest rates keep going up, that will probably not be a great source of income. It's the fact that they've been going down that, and we held bonds that were higher interest rates, that's caused us to have a higher gain.
And it's, and right now it's just about that they're very, very secure, and that's what we're required to do for the district tax dollars to protect those.
Got it.
So,
okay. Any concerns about the deposits or the tax receipts? Any questions or input about that? Anything about the medical plaza? On the check register, I had a thought, if we can move along to the check register. And it's actually something that I, I'm sorry?
Which page?
34.
Well, actually, my concern about the check register was more on the...
There's a couple of check registers.
Yeah, on the foundation side. I'll reserve my comments for that. And if they're applicable here, it'll make sense.
Arthur, when you turn your head, your voice breaks up. You have to be looking at the mic.
Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you. Is that better?
Yep. Yes.
All right. I'm sorry. I was looking off to the side. Now I'm looking straight ahead. Okay. Item number 9, the retirement protection plan update. Anything that we need to discuss there, Chris?
No, just, we are seeing a little bit of movement, but not significant yet. I was actually surprised, coming through the pandemic that there were not more of those long-term people that retired or that would have retired. But a lot of respect for those that continue working, and they're, a lot of them are near retirement age, if not already. So,
yeah. Okay. And grant payment schedule, anything extraordinary other than surpluses?
No, just a reminder that as we've talked over the last several months, that whatever remaining of that highlighted amount, which currently shows on here 1.8 million, if there's whatever is remaining that has not been allocated for grants in this fiscal year, I think the recommendation to the board would be to preserve that balance and have that carry forward into FY22.
Okay, does that require a formal motion at all, or should we just accept the...
I think that's information right now for the finance committee, and then at the board meeting, I think would be the decision too.
Okay, I have a question.
Just as an FYI, the program committee is coming up at 5 o'clock today, and we do have a request to the program committee to reserve $1 million from the grant budget for Lift to Rise.
And by the way, does that mean that if that passes the board next week, that money that is reserved, if it's not used, would then go back into the pool to be used for anything else the board wishes?
Are you saying not used for Lift to Rise or not used?
Let me say it again. If the board next week approves of whatever the program committee says, and that money is reserved for Lift to Rise, and then in the next year, that's not, let's say we decide not to do it, does that money then go back to for general use, or because it's been designated from the last year budget, is it no longer able to be carried over?
So you're really asking, is it a one-year reservation or is it a reservation in perpetuity?
I think what the board can do is if the board approves the $1 million, then it's committed to Lyft Rise. And I think what I hear you're saying, Dr. Zendel, is then if that's changed later or if it's not approved at the board meeting, it can be communicated and stipulated that whatever the amount from the $1 million plus whatever remains would be from this schedule, another 800,000 could be committed for
or the motion might very well be that it's reserved for 1 year and it's reconsidered at the end of the next fiscal year.
That's not the point I'm trying to make, though. I'm trying to understand that if it's committed for a specific purpose and the board later decides not to use it for that specific purpose, those funds that were carried over from the last fiscal year, is it then eligible to be used for any purpose the board wants to use it for?
And maybe I should have been a little bit more clear, Dr. Zendel, but I apologize. That is an actual grant request that would be for $1 million over 2 years for a Lyft to Rise program. So we're asking the program committee to approve it in concept.
I understand that. But
so it's a grant, actual grant.
That's separate from the financial angle of this, which is taking the money from the 2021 budget that's left over from grants and saying, we're going to add that amount to money we can spend in 21-22. Let's say it's 1.5 million left over, but we're going to take 1 million of that 1.5 million and we're going to designate it for Lyft to Rise. If that doesn't happen, does that then become available to use for any purpose in the next fiscal year?
To me, I think the sequence of how it would work is if program committee approves the grant in concept, then there would be an actual grant that would come before the board for approval. If that grant then is approved, then that $1 million is executed as a grant awarded to Lyft Rise.
I understand that.
And then there would be a remaining amount that could be preserved. Now, come to the board meeting, if it's still in concept and still needs to be worked, then I think the decision would be to preserve the $1.5 million number that you're talking about. And then if a grant still needs to be worked through the details with Lyft Rise, then those monies could still be used in FY22 specific for that purpose.
I have a question, Donna. What's the history of the development of that proposal? It had to be predicated on someone knowing there was budget, there was grant excess monies laying around and seized the opportunity, so to speak, to propose this contingent grant. Can you give us a little more background on that?
Well, actually, it's been something that's been discussed at program committee, strategic planning, finance, and the board since past October for the Housing Catalyst Fund. And so it's not a new concept. It's not a new idea. And it's not that they're not just jumping in because there's some money left over. This is something that's been talked about and discussed off.
Excuse me, that's not my understanding. I know we discussed Lyft to Rise in the abstract, and I don't recall any discussions about a supplemental grant to Lyft to Rise.
It hasn't come before the board yet, Arthur. It's going to the program committee today, and it'll be discussed if it passes and they recommend it go to the board, it'll go to the board next week.
Okay, but I just wanted to be clear that all the discussions about Lyft to Rise have been in the abstraction, and they have not been in the context of a specific grant or a supplemental grant, unless I'm mistaken. I'd like to make sure I'm not mistaken there.
When they first came to us, they were asking for $10 million for a contribution into the Housing Catalyst Fund, which we went back and forth with legal because they originally wanted it in a PRI. Conrado, maybe you can help me out on this one. And it was determined by legal that the best method would be to have them apply for a grant. So it went from 10 million, then it was, they were talking about requesting 2.5 million to add to the Housing Catalyst Fund. And now we have talked back and forth with Lift to Rise. We did a pre-proposal conference with them, and that we were recommending $1 million, and then there's some contingencies and some other things in there.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that clarification, Donna.
Can I get back to my original question, though? Let's say that the program committee passes this in concept, and next week the board passes it in concept, which reserves $1 million of the surplus grant money for this program for 2020, carried over from last year to next year. Then in a month or two or whenever, the contract is negotiated and it comes before the board. Let's say the board doesn't pass it. My question is does that $1 million that was reserved for Lift to Rise then become available as additional funds over the $4 million budgeted for 21-22 for us to use, the board to use, any way it wishes as carried over money from the previous year?
Okay, so Dr. Zendel, at the board meeting this month, probably it's going to come as an actual grant. If it's recommended by the program committee today, it will come as an actual grant to the board for consideration of approval. I don't think it's going to come as concept.
With a contract and everything?
Yes. And so if the board approves a grant contract at that point, then it's already done and committed this year.
I understand.
If it still goes forward in a concept beyond the June board meeting, then it can be just rolled into whatever if it's 1.5 million and 1 million is kind of for that purpose, it'll go into that pot of a general fund, so to speak, and then it will be available for then further discussion in FY22.
Okay, I want to explain where I'm coming from. I just want to make sure that whatever the board decides, whether it decides to do it or not do it, that it doesn't tie up money from this overage if the board decides not to do it. That's all I'm saying.
We're not going to lose the 1.8 million or whatever it is, either way.
I know we wouldn't lose it, but again, we've designated carrying money over from the last fiscal year to this fiscal year to next fiscal year. And I just want to make sure we still will have that preserved if the grant doesn't go forward.
It will be preserved either way.
Okay, that's the question.
And I want to go back to the concern I raised, that once a grant is granted, if for whatever reason it's not executed, the money doesn't stay in that grant profile in perpetuity. At some point, it has to revert back to what I'm going to call the general pool for consideration for other projects, unless I'm not understanding that.
That's true, except the question is what fiscal year it counts in.
Oh, okay, well, I'm not too concerned about fiscal year. I'm just concerned that the money doesn't get locked in just because it's passed once. If for some reason things change and circumstances change, and the grant's not distributed, for example.
If I may, I think what Dr. Zendel, you're trying to convey is that whichever amount of money we have left over from this fiscal year, let's say for the sake of a number, $1.8 million, that will roll over into next fiscal year grant budget. So instead of having 4 million, we will have a designated $5.8 million available for grants.
Correct.
Does that resolve the issue?
It does. And even though, right, except in this case, we're not rolling over a lump sum to be decided later. If this passes the board next week, it'll be $1 million less than that we roll over to be used however the board decides to.
Correct. It would be like any grant. Chris would just book it in this fiscal year.
Right.
Right, Chris?
Right.
Yeah, and then whatever the remainder is, then the board can preserve right into the next year.
Okay. I'd like to call for acceptance of the financial reports as described. Okay,
now I want my question now that we have spent time on your questions.
Okay. Go ahead.
So my question is on item the HARC contract that we made a payment of $39,000. For this one, that's the final payment, but we haven't gotten our report yet.
What page are you?
Donna, can you, or Conrado, can you provide, do we just pay them before we get the report, or?
You're talking about the final grant report?
Yeah, it's on the health survey that we just made a payment of $39,998.
Yeah, that would be their 10% retention. That was going to be booked. That was going to go into the program committee, but we didn't have time to put it in. So it'll be put in, but we've never approved those in the past or anything that wasn't never contingent on paying out the 10%. Because I review all the documentation that came in to make sure everything was in compliance with the way they spent the money and the deliverables were made.
Okay. That was my question, was whether they had delivered everything to mm-hmm. satisfaction. Okay, thank you.
Any other concerns about the financial reports, ladies and gentlemen? If not, a motion is entertained in that respect, please.
I move approval.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Moved unanimously. Moving the agenda. Chris, do you want to bring the discussion up about the RAP conference build-up, please?
Sure.
So before you do that, I want to find out, since this is just the an item on the contract, does it really have an impact on RAP? Do I recuse myself or not recuse myself? I do have a question about it, but I'm sure the question is going to be raised by another board member.
Are we voting on anything?
Yeah.
Well, it's an action item.
We're voting on a contract to do the build out of the conference room there. And I guess my only question is, does it financially benefit RAP by having the tenant improvement done in that suite?
So if you could just, I'll recuse myself just to be on the safe side.
Good
so,
idea.
But if you can find out with a legal attorney, that way, when it does come to the board, I will follow whatever recommendation. Okay.
Good idea. Okay.
But just thank hypothetically you. Speaking, I'm wondering how the vast difference between the two bids. Hypothetically speaking, I'm stepping away.
I think I can answer that question.
Yes. Well, go ahead, Chris.
For her.
If it answer it, it'll be in the minutes.
Okay. All right. So
for the purpose of the minutes, I will just ask the question that Letty just asked.
Okay.
I'm asking the question, Andrea.
Okay. All right. So we are all aware of the history here that we were going to do a build out of the conference room at the RAP offices that we lease. Last month, we approved essentially an 11-year lease. It's 1 year at a time, and the district has the option to renew each year. Retaining the same lease rate. So we went out to a bid process. It did not require a public bid, but our architect and project manager, Chris Mills, solicited a couple of different contractors to bid the work. In answer to the question why there's such a discrepancy, we wanted to get at least two or three bids. Chris Mills was having a difficult time getting others to bid because it's such a small project and contractors are so busy right now, they don't even really want to deal with it. So DW Johnston, who Chris Mills knows, they're very well known in the community in that, he asked them to do a bid. But essentially, they just threw a high number at this project. If they got it, they got it, and they're going to make some great money. InPro EMS, who is our contractor at the Medical Plaza that does our maintenance work over there, they provided a bid as well. They got the largest and most expensive component of that project is what we're calling the storefront, which is the glass and metal wall that's creating the divider for that room. The rest of it is, moving air conditioning type and fire sprinkler. There's a build out that needs to happen at the entrance to create a handicap egress. And so I've worked with the principal there at InPro to ensure that he has included everything per the plans and specs. I have confirmed that also with Chris Mills, because I also said that I did not want to have a deal of coming back and saying, oh, we missed this and we missed that, and now we need to do change order. I said that would not be acceptable. So it's been reviewed, been confirmed. They are comfortable with this bid number.
The original budget was originally $25,000, and Chris thought it might be materially higher, if I recall.
Correct.
And now it's come back in within the parameters. Is that a true statement?
Yeah, and the reason that he went to $40,000 is that he had gotten a quote for the wall from D.W. Johnston, saying that the wall was going to be like $15,000 to $20,000, where the wall that InPro has worked on getting the numbers down fits within their budget here.
I move we accept the proposal.
I second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion is carried.
Andrea,
you want to give Letty a buzz? Thank you. The next item is the consulting extension for Magdalena Martinez and HR. Conrado, do you want to discuss this? Or Chris, how do you want to address the issue, gentlemen?
Conrado, if you want, or either way is fine.
No, go ahead, Chris.
Okay. So Maggie Martinez has been our HR consultant for the last 2 years, and she's done a great job with working with us in updating our employee handbook, some policies surrounding HR. She's actually going to come out in a couple of weeks and do an audit of our employee files to ensure that we're in compliance with what we need with regard to that. And she's been instrumental in answering some questions that we've needed some clarification on. And so we would like to, her current agreement goes through September. However, what we wanted to do was get the timeline on a fiscal year basis. So we're changing the time frame from July 1st to June 30th of 2022. So it kind of falls into our budget cycle. And she's currently receiving $833 per month as a flat rate. And we are recommending that the compensation be increased to $900 per month.
To $900 per month.
Yes. What did I say?
No, you said $900. It could have been two or by. But so
I thought I said $900, but anyway, that's the recommendation.
Okay.
To increase to $900.
I move we accept the proposal as recommended.
Any second for that?
I second.
All in favor, please just say aye.
Aye.
But Dr. Zendel, would you like to vote?
I thought I said aye, sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. And I say aye. The motion is carried by acclamation. If we can move on to the next item, we're back to the lease agreement issue, if you don't mind, Chris.
Okay, so here's the, we received an LOI just a couple of weeks ago on this particular suite. It happens to be, in my opinion, probably the most prime suite at the Medical Plaza. It's directly across the street from the hospital, and it's right at the lighted crosswalk. Very easy access for medical providers, et cetera. So we received this LOI. It is for a fertility organization that is out of Orange County. They're looking to establish a presence here in the Valley. My understanding is that they do have rights at practice rights at Desert Regional. Their LOI or request was to do a lease, a five-year lease with a five-year option. But the terms of the way the lease would start is they wanted a January 1st, 2022 start with a six-month waiver of lease payments. So the payments wouldn't start until July 1st, a year from now. They had also requested roughly $20 a square foot for tenant improvement work. I responded, me and Eric responded, with a counter offer, accepting the roughly $20 a square foot for the TI, but shortening the period by 6 months. So having the lease date start July 1st with a 6 month waiver of rent for the rent to start January 1st of 2022. Just within, and this, we hadn't received a confirmation yet from that counter offer. We just did about an hour before the meeting started. They have now done a counter offer that they've done another estimate on their TI work, and they're saying it's gonna cost them $40 a square foot to do the work, and they still want to have the rent start on July 1st of 2022, so a year from now. What I would recommend, or Eric and I discussed before the meeting, is that if we stay with a five-year lease, only $20 a square foot. If they will go with a full 10-year lease, because they've already indicated that they would like a five-year option, that we would offer $40 a square foot for a 10-year lease. And I would look at shortening the rent period by maybe 3 to 6 months, so that maybe rent would come in, March of 2022. The risk that we take with, and we can say no, we can reject it. The risk that we take is that it sits empty again for several months. Like I say, it is probably one of the prime spaces, but it has been empty for a while. So we either would have a sure deal, would not receive rent income for a few months until early part of, at the latest, July of next year, which I would not recommend going that long, but allowing them to start the lease, say July 1st or even August 1st, but then start paying rent, say March 1st of 2022. So those are my thoughts. Any feedback, concerns from the committee?
I would tend to
say. Do you have any thought? I have some concerns and some issues, but I'll reserve my thoughts till everybody else's input is heard. Dr. Zendel, Letty, any thoughts?
Well, let me just add, I would tend to support whatever Chris thinks is best, Chris and Conrado think is best, and what Chris just recommended. It has stayed empty for how long, Chris?
This one shifted over from a tenant that had been in that suite for a long time, and it's probably been about a year and a half, 2 years ago, they have moved into a new suite, which was empty for a substantial amount of time. So So it's kind of a trade-off.
But this suite has been available for a year, year and a half, and no one else has expressed enough of to make an offer.
Doesn't mean that there wouldn't be, but I, you know, part of me says it's good to have, you know, an actual commitment that we have in there. You know, I'd like to have rent paid immediately, but I also recognize that there's need for some time for TI work. And, but I'd prefer not to go all the way to July 1st of 2022. Yeah. If we could compromise on that to March, I think that might be a possible way to go.
Letty, any thoughts?
I'm also inclined to follow staff's recommendation.
Okay, I have a couple of thoughts I'd like to inject into this. Number one, if they're doing in vitro fertilization, that's extremely lucrative. That's big ticket, big money items. And it's fine. It's very, and I think it's welcoming to get them on board. I think they will produce obstetrical load for the hospital. But I'm a little concerned about them crying poor. Now, they're also demonstrating in their counteroffer, Chris, in my understanding of negotiations, they're playing hardball with us. And they are, and that needs to be understood. Now, I agree with you completely that there's no way to have a cash flow deferred for a year. That's nuts. I agree that 6 months would be as far out as I would allow them to go. I don't think we need to give all $40 for 10 years. I'd give them $30 for 10 years and continue the negotiation, so to speak. All with the idea that if we end up at 10 years at $40, it's not a bad deal with the 6 month revenue stream starting. And I think the key to it, and this consensus among all of us, based on your recommendation, that a 6 month delay in rent payments is fine. So realistically, the only agenda that we need to, you know, to coalesce around that is whether or not 10 years for $40 or 10 years for something less makes sense. And I would propose another negotiating round at either 25 or 30 cents for 10 years and see what comes back.
Arthur, would this satisfy you if we don't vote on this today and basically tell staff to continue negotiation? And obviously it's not going to start July 1 anyway. So we'll see what you negotiate.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I don't think we should agree on anything today. I think we should empower Chris to go back and negotiate another, you know, go through another negotiating round. And if necessary, you can do based on that, Chris, if it's allowed under the protocols of the organization, do a voice solicitation of the members of this committee to accelerate it back onto the agenda if and when you come back with something that would work.
I think we can definitely postpone a month, bring it in July, with the idea that, and what I'm thinking about now is giving them, say, an August start date and giving them until, you know, February or March of 2022 to start their rent payments. And then either give them, you know, the $20 for 5 years, or if they're committing to the full 10 years now, you know, whatever, offer them 30 or 35.
Exactly. And I would be comfortable with you using your negotiating discretion without us telling you what a number should be, but I think you understand the principle that we don't have to drop for 40 right now and just leave it open and give you the discretion and the latitude to do what you have to do.
Okay. And then
I'll make a motion to, since it's an action item on the agenda, I'll make a motion to table until it's brought back by staff.
That'll be fine. Second. Thank you.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
By consensus. Thank you very much. That concludes our agenda that's on the books. Is there anything that's not on the agenda that needs discussion at this time? If not, I'll call this meeting to be closed at 1 hour and 5 minutes after the start date, because I can't see the time. And we'll move right to the foundation, if that's acceptable to everybody. All right, I'd like to call that meeting to order. If someone could announce the time, I would appreciate it, because I can't see it on my screen. I see it at 4:30. That's
4:27.
Okay, 4:27, so be it. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as published?
So moved.
Second.
Is there a thank second? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Are there any public comments, Andrea? Any public personalities that require the admonition? Andrea?
No, Linda Evans has been with us, though. She provided a, I don't know if you guys happened to see her comment. Yeah, we were discussing the behavioral health services.
Yeah, I saw that comment. But is there any, I'll read the public announcement at this time. The comments from the audience may be made on items not listed on the agenda that are of public interest and within the subject matter jurisdiction of the district. The committee has a policy of limiting speakers to not more than 3 minutes. The committee cannot take action on items not listed on the agenda. Public input may be offered on an agenda item when it comes up for discussion or action. That being said, I'd solicit a motion to approve the minutes of May 11th.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Conrado, is there a report of consequence that you wish to mention?
Nothing at this time.
Thank you, sir. Chris, let's move along to the financial statements, pages 4 through 8. Any issues related to the financials?
No, we continue to show favorable profit there. One issue, just as informational item, is working with our auditors on revenue and expense recognition on the ELC2 funds that are coming from the county, as well as the Public Health Institute monies. Whether we just book the amount, the installment that's been paid as of the end of June, or if we need to recognize the entire contract amount. That will, you know, ultimately change the final numbers here when it comes to June, but just an informational item.
Thank you. Any other issues related to the financials or the deposits? On the check register, are there any questions or concerns other than one that I might have, and I'll wait until everybody else has a thought?
Nope.
Okay, well, I have a very just an interesting thought, Chris, page 11, check register. And this is really just a thought for our public constituency that there's two kinds of items listed on the check register: operating expense distributions and grant allocations. And I wonder if it would make sense to put an asterisk next to any grant distribution, so that a reader who is not necessarily super familiar with our world would know that El Sol Neighborhood Education Center is a grant, is a pre-authorized grant distribution as opposed to
what page are you on? I'm sorry.
Arthur, you said page 11, but I think it may be another page.
13. Page 10 of 13.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's helpful. Now say that again. I apologize.
I said if there's a way to allow a reader who's not super familiar with our world to discriminate between operational expense distributions, if you will, for example, the Gallagher Center versus the Desert Sun. Right. Those are two different types of distributions.
The Galilee Center. You're breaking up, Director.
I'm sorry. The Galilee Center is 5204, and that's a grant distribution. And the Desert Sun is 5206. That's an operating expense distribution. I wonder if if it would be helpful to our constituents to put an asterisk next to one of those columns, so as a person's reading them, they can discriminate easily between grant distributions and operating expense distributions. It's just a thought for consideration. It's not a big deal.
I think if it helps the directors and staff, I would agree to it, but I don't think it's necessary for the purposes of the other directors and the staff. And
what about the public?
Well, there are so many ununderstandable for the average public things in a financial statement that you could add 20 pages of commentary and you'd still find things you want to have more comment on. So I understand what you're saying, Arthur, and I get it, but especially when 95% of what we're spending in the foundation is grant money, it seems like it's not really necessary. It would make more sense, by the way, on the district budget, where we spend a lot more money on administrative stuff, but that's my comment.
If you recall, when the check register issue came up on the district budget, I said I would reserve the comments for the foundation budget. This is more of a, this would be something that if it would be more useful on one but not the other, or useful on both, I would ask that staff give it some thought, or dispose of it as it should be in the circular file. It was just a thought that I thought would that make a degree of clarity for somebody or someone. But that being said, I'm happy to move the agenda on.
Okay, I have a question. I have two, a question, maybe two.
Go ahead.
Okay, so my question is on the Avery Trust Funds, the payment of $100,880,000. I believe that was for the report that was reported at the last board meeting. So is there expectation that there'll be more expenses for that project, or is that pretty much where we're going to end up with the balance of $818,000 for that report?
So we have to consider that this is kind of a bucket of money or a collective amount of money. Mm-hmm. And the board had committed roughly $500,000 a few months ago. Two components there. One is a grant for the Public Health Institute, and the other is a project with Concur Inc. With regard to the air quality. And I think both of those are still in progress. And so the $100,000 is just accumulation of progress payments for the year to date on both of those projects.
So we expect that some more expenses will be deducted from the 818 then, right? To probably take us down to like 500?
Correct. By the time we're finished with those two commitments, there's, I believe, roughly 500,000 remaining that could be committed for other purposes.
Okay, thank you. And my other question has to do with the balance available for grant programs, the 730 that's there in highlighted. Mm-hmm. So that we anticipate that money is going to be still a balance after the fiscal year closes, or will some of that be drawn down?
But one of the components of that is, recall the $300,000 that we had budgeted each year for what we were calling the East Valley commitment. Part of it is that because we had $300,000 in the current fiscal year budget. So that should just go away, meaning we wouldn't commit that going into the next year because we determined that we're no longer going to do that. So, there's monies that can be used there, but essentially we created budget and just as a guess that there might be opportunity if something came about. Really predominantly what's occurred for the foundation is all of this pass-through monies that we're getting from the county with the CARES and ELC, as well as Public Health Institute. And that's where the majority has been focused for the foundation. Now, we do have a grant budget that's been defined for the fiscal year 2022. It's been traditionally that we wouldn't need more, but to your question, I think, is that if the board were to want to commit, say, $400,000 to be used into the next fiscal year, that could be done. It's just traditionally, I mean, like the $300,000, we haven't had the opportunity to award grants with all of those monies that were potentially available. So,
isn't the grant money on the foundation a little budget a little different than on the district? Because the money from the foundation either gets it from district money that's moved over from the $4 million that's budgeted for the district, or it's new money that comes in from outside.
Correct. So
it's sort of understood that that money could still stays with the foundation, and the board, the foundation board, could elect to spend any of the money that's in the foundation coffers if it wants to. The $4 million that we talk about for grant money is district money that is really limited that year to that amount of money. Is that, am I thinking of that right?
Yes. So we have estimates in the foundation. I mean, we have no clue if that could be used in the current fiscal year or not. And most of the time it's not, because we just haven't, you know, had the opportunity to have grants coming, that many dollars of grants coming through the foundation. We budgeted in hopes that there could be, however, it traditionally does not materialize.
Okay, Letty, any other questions? Any other questions? The last item that we have is the credit card.
The financial budget financial report be accepted.
It's not done. We're not done. We have one more item: the credit card expenditure register. And I have a question, and I know we've discussed it in the past as it relates to the car rental issue. Is the $1,000 plus cost that we're booking this month, is this an extraordinary expense that related to Alejandro's vaccination push, or is it likely that we have a recurring need that would take us, let's just as a threshold, above $500 a month?
I think, and my guess, and Conrado, you can correct it along the way, but you know, since the board has approved the mobile unit, my logic would be is that this vehicle rental would go away at some point, and that we would then be just reimbursing employees' mileage at that point. Or if that's considered to be excessive for, you know, one person like, say, Alejandro with the community, the chief of community engagement, you know, it might be worthy of considering a monthly auto allowance.
Okay.
Those are options with regard to that.
All right. We can just keep our eye on it and see where it goes over the next couple of months, if that's okay with everybody else.
Isn't there also a case that this is not just a rental car? This was like a truck or something to schlep with.
It's a vehicle that's grand.
Something.
This was a large expenditure for that. Yeah, it had to do with the vaccination push.
Right, but it wasn't a regular car. It was actually something special, which, as Chris says, we'll no longer need if and when we get the van.
Right.
Okay. A
question based on the discussion right now, was this an expense that was reimbursable from the grant?
It's taken from the grant money.
This is not reimbursable from the grant monies, but we do have the money set aside that was the repurposed Ready, Set, Swim monies, that this is part of the expense that's covered there.
Okay, I just wanted it to be somebody else's money, but okay, thank you.
Way to go. Exactly right. OPM.
Wait, other people's money. Doesn't it come out of the overhead we got from the grant money? Wasn't there $200,000 and it comes out of there?
I don't believe it comes out of that one. I don't think we can use it for that.
Yeah, that's for salaries, if I'm not mistaken. If there's no other business before this August committee, I'd like to call the meeting to a closure by acclamation.
Did you vote on it? Did you vote on the financials?
Oh, excuse me. Now it's time. Les, your motion has been reactivated. Is there a second to accept the financials?
I'll second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. So moved. Again, if there's no other business in front of the committee, we stand adjourned. And Chris, everyone is welcome to depart to